TriStar Pictures presents, in association with Japan Satellite Broadcasting, Inc., an indie prod production. Sharon Stone, Gene Hackman, The Quick and the Dead. A lone horse rider makes their way across a dry, grassy plain. Russell Crowe, Tobin Bell, Roberts Blossom. They approach an old abandoned wagon with a horse standing next to it and a man on his own digging the red earth beside it.
North of the wagon. What was it, 50 feet? South of the wagon. Remember!
He throws the earth over his camping equipment, then starts digging frantically with his hands. Leonardo DiCaprio. The man sees the rider coming, so he grabs his gun, kneels down behind the wagon, and takes aim. The rider falls.
Are you gonna take my gold, mister? No, sir!
He trots towards the lifeless body, approaching it carefully, and prods it with his gun. When there's no response, he kneels down to turn it over and gets punched to the ground unconscious. The rider stands up and throws their hat down on his face.
Asshole.
When the man comes to, she's getting on her horse.
I'm gonna kill you, bitch.
The rider, Ellen, has chained him to the wagon.
Damn you! Don't you leave me here! I'm gonna kill you if I ever see you again! I'll kill you! So help me! I am gonna kill you, bitch!
Ellen rides into an old cemetery with crude, hand-carved headstones. A man hangs by the neck from a tree, and she stops to look at him before carrying on her way. A few dusty shrubs grow out of the scorched red earth between the graves. Ellen passes some planks of wood that have been stuck in the ground with a letter painted on each of them to spell the word redemption. She stops to look at a small town by the hills with sun shining on it through the clouds and follows the winding path towards it. Riders approach from behind, and she waits as they pass her. A marshal sign lies in the burnt rubble of an old building. Ellen rides on again, smoking a cigarette as she passes through the dust kicked up by the other horses and enters the one-street town. A man planing a coffin lid looks up as she approaches.
5'8". Am I right?
Poor lady, never wrong.
She looks at a girl watching her out of a window, then people gathered on the balcony of the Pigeon's Nest Club and Cafe. A man having his nails filed stares, and she reveals her gun to him. There's no one at all in the brown, dusty street as she reaches a building on the corner and stops her horse. She climbs down off it. A blind boy wearing tinted glasses puts some bottles into a case and listens carefully as she tethers her horse, then enters the bar. A girl passes a man on a stool some bottles.
Nice girl, thanks very much.
Ellen walks up behind him and draws on her cigarette.
I've had a room.
Who's next door?
She puts the cigarette on the bar.
Say that again.
I say, who's next door?
Ellen kicks the stool out from under him, catches the bottle and pours herself a drink while he gets painfully to his feet.
Now, do you have a room available?
Room in bath. Yes, ma'am. Coming up. Coming up. Katie, let's go get the lady a room in the bath.
As the doors open again, a man's shadow appears on the bar's floor. Long legs that eventually meet some spurred boots. He's dressed in dark leather, with long hair and a moustache.
Barkeep, I want a bottle of champagne.
Yes, sir!
And don't you dare open it, I want to know what I'm drinking.
He takes out some cards and leans against a post.
You want to play poker with me, little lady?
Looks like you're having a pretty good time playing with yourself.
It's a very special pack. See, I put an ace in every time I kill a man.
He fans them out. They're nearly all aces. Ellen walks past him, unimpressed, and goes outside where she sits on a chair. The blind boy starts cleaning her boots.
Interested in first-class whiskey? I also have very fine cigars. Indie ink, perfume.
Just shine my boots.
She looks at the house across the street, where sunlight reflects off a telescope.
John Harrod owns that house. He gets 50 cents of every dollar in this town.
What's the town get?
It gets to live.
The boy stops suddenly.
Another gun in town.
She looks round and sees another rider approaching. The man, wearing a convict's stripy top, goes straight into the bar.
Hi, Scar.
Shut up.
Stand back.
Another man comes flying out of the bar, looks around, and jumps onto Scar's horse, then rides away. Scar comes out of the bar with a beer in his hand and stands in the road watching him go, then pulls his gun. Scars rolls his sleeve up and pulls a knife out.
Well, that makes 15.
He cuts a line in his forearm and takes a long swig of beer, spilling half of it down his top. He walks over towards Ellen and the boy.
I just got out of prison.
Congratulations.
I got 35 years. They let me out early.
How long did you do this time?
3 days.
You're pretty.
You're not.
I need a woman.
You need a bath.
Scars, who's blind in one eye, pulls the boy's stand over.
I'm so clumsy, I must be blind.
The young girl leads Ellen to her room.
We pray to God that a man like you would come to help us.
Well, maybe you should have called your priest. Well, this is strictly business.
I have these candelabra.
What are they worth?
$200.
$200? Is that it?
Ellen pushes the door open and looks in at people round a table counting money. A man kicks it shut again. Katie pours water for Ellen.
Don't mind my daddy, he's just stupid.
You look like you've been riding a long time. Where have you come from? Are you here for the contest? Because I've never seen a woman carry a gun before. Bet you're a good shot, maybe you could...
Ellen stops her playing with her things.
I've guess I'd better go now.
As Katie leaves, Ellen takes a framed black and white photograph of a young man out of her bag and looks at it. She pulls a gun when the door opens, but it's only Katie who leaves a pot of flowers on the side and quickly goes again. Nighttime. Ellen puts her hat on and makes her way down into the street where a party's going on. Fires burn, people shoot guns, and many wear masks. An animal cooks over a fire on a spit. As Ellen walks through the crowd, she stops to look at an older, bearded man dressed all in black who's staring back at her. But when someone passes in front of them, he vanishes again.
Gold teeth! I got some gold teeth, all sizes. Gold teeth! I got uppers, I got lowers. Ah, you're wasting my time.
Quiet! Quiet!
The barman.
I now declare the quick draw competition open. Yeah! Each man who enters the contest will fight once a day.
Yes.
Anybody can challenge anybody. The time of the fight will be pulled from a hat. For the duration of the contest, every fighter is entitled to whatever he wants, courtesy Mr. Harris. But the man who wins the contest gets this. 123,000 dollars. Compliments, Mr. Harrod and Wells Fargo. All right, gentlemen, what do you say? Do we have any real gunmen in this room?
That's a matter of opinion.
Do we? Yes.
Goodson. I'm Swedish champion.
Mr. Goodson is the like first to go up. Anyone else?
Put an ace up there. Everyone will know what that means.
Ace and win.
I think you better put me and my friend Eugene on the list.
Huh?
Eugene, do you know how to spell your name?
I didn't say nothing about joining no contest.
Do I hear clucking? Did somebody bring a chicken in here?
Settle down, Gene. I'll take you out of here right now with my bare hands.
No. You see, it's a gunfight. We both have guns. We aim, we fire, you die. You'll get the idea.
The fighting begins tomorrow on the street, not in here.
Put my name up there.
Anybody else?
Sergeant Cantrell.
How do you spell that?
He lights his pipe.
Correctly.
Anyone else?
Spotted horse. Many white men leave this pounded wooden box.
Right. Body and horse. Do we have any other fighters?
Put my damn name up.
Guard.
To Ellen.
I'm worth $3,000 in four states. 75 offenses and no convictions. My name's Fee, but, everyone calls me the kid.
Congratulations.
He sits down.
So damn fast I can wake up at the crack of dawn, rob two banks, a train, and a stagecoach, shoot the tail feathers off a duck's ass at 300 feet. Still be back in bed before you wake up next to me.
Fine.
I don't.
Do we have any more fighters?
Just fine.
Yeah.
Virgil Sparks, the pride of Texas.
Virgil Sparks, join the list.
Horace said you drink this. Sure must want to die young, miss.
I do now.
She takes the drink from him.
We got a lot of spaces here. Let's fill them up, men. Let's fill them up.
I'm going to put my name up.
Put my name up.
Ellen's attention is caught by a man walking past the window and up to the bar's swing doors. A burst of air shoots in as he pushes them open, and Ellen swallows her drink nervously. She watches his spurred boots as he strides across the floor towards the barman and his chalkboard of names for the competition. He seems to be in his 60s and has two armed henchmen behind him. He looks down at Ace, who averts his gaze, then up at the barman.
How many brave men do we have?
There are 12 right now, Mr. Harris. 13 if you count Foy, but he and Rassi aren't back yet.
They'll be here. Just run a little errand for me.
Herod reads the board and sees the name Kid written there. He looks over at the boy, who stares defiantly back at him.
Add my name to the list.
Attaboy!
Yes, sir.
Ellen, still looking nervous, watches Herod as he sits down at a table. A man tumbles into the bar.
He beat the hell out of
him. Shit, he ain't nothing.
He painfully picks himself up.
Hello, Court. I begin to worry you wouldn't make it in time. It's been a while. Here you have a mission down in Hermosillo. Is that right? Your own little piece of heaven. Sunshine and cactus flowers and you and the orphan children praying for salvation.
We burned that mission down, Mr. Harris, just like you said.
All that work, Court. All those years of hard work. Destroyed for no reason. Must make you angry. You used to be fast. Are you still fast? Don't I get an answer? Have you taken a vow of silence? I said, are you still fast?
Court catches the glass.
Faster than you.
He drinks from it, leaving Herod looking a little worried.
But I have renounced violence.
Let's see. String him up.
Let's get him out now!
Get him out in here! On the chair!
They throw a rope over a beam.
We're gonna adjust your collar, Reverend.
Then the other end goes around his neck.
Shit, come on, pull him up, boy!
Everyone watches with downcast eyes as his feet struggle to stay on the chair. Herod takes a pistol from one of his henchmen.
Let me make it clear. I want you in that contest.
No.
He shoots part of the chair's leg brace away.
Think about it.
Herod shoots another of the legs, and the chair begins to wobble unsteadily. Another brace goes.
Last chance. Yes or no?
Go to hell.
He takes aim as the chair begins to break in half.
Sign me up.
No women in quick draws. Against the rules.
There's no rule against ladies. It's just the women can't shoot for shit.
That's right.
Adios, Reverend.
As Herod shoots the last leg away and the chair falls, Ellen stands and pumps bullets into the rope around the beam, cutting it down and saving Court's life. Herod nods to himself and smiles.
Put them both in the contest.
Yeah! Adrian, we're all fighters!
Move it, preacher! Let's chain him up under his belt!
Half the men in the bar shoot their guns up into the ceiling as the festivities recommence. Then it carries on outside. A flashback of a marshal badge and a couple walking down the street pushing a pram. Horses ride through the town. A man with spurred boots walks by.
Come back here!
No!
You hear me? You hear me?
Daddy!
A doctor chases a little girl. Then Ellen wakes up on a makeshift bed in a gun store. The kid's up at the counter loading a weapon.
Hey, good morning. Seems like you definitely had a good time last night, huh? Want some breakfast? Or, how about a little of what we had last night? Yeah, you certainly won that drinking contest, that's for sure. Then again, I sort of won you in poker.
Look, the last thing I remember was you puking and passing out behind the saloon, so let's not plan the wedding yet, okay?
All right.
This thing is so hard, I don't know how you sleep on it.
If I don't sleep on it, people steal it.
She moves the covers aside and sees she's been lying on barrels of dynamite.
So who are you going to challenge today?
Herod.
Ooh. Bad idea. I'm about the only guy around here who can take him, and I sure ain't going to rush to do that.
Well, why not?
Well, hell, he's my father.
Outside, the town is quiet, apart from Court, who's lying face down on the ground beside some chickens and is chained to a dried-up fountain which is covered in old but unlit candles. When he turns round, he sees a couple of men guarding Herod's house. One of them crosses the main road towards the bar. There are more men further down the street. Then another man strikes a match on Court's stubble. He uses it to light his cigar, then smacks Court round the face.
You've been challenged to a fight yet? You had now. I'll go get us some time. These are my boys. They don't get to church much.
Daddy's gonna kill you, preacher!
The four children run forward and start hitting Court with bits of wood. Then one by one they get pulled off him or smacked. Ellen stands before Court.
Sleep well?
Not as well as you.
In case you forgot, preacher, I saved your life last night.
No, I think you just stressed it out a bit. I might have even gone to heaven if you'd let me die.
Sorry.
Herod comes out of his house, adjusts his jacket, and walks down the front steps.
Don't you even want to fight back?
Of course I do. I'd like to kill them all for what they've done. But I won't. Killing people is wrong.
Some people deserve to die.
Harry, it was a little lean this week, and whiskey was high.
Morris, your excuses are getting worse every week.
I took everything out of the register, Harry. Everything.
That's all there was.
Barkeep.
Ellen, who's standing next to Herod while he counts the takings, gets a drink and sips it while nervously watching him. She turns to face him and reaches down for her gun, but Herod doesn't notice. Then someone grabs her shoulder. It's the man she chained to the wagon.
I challenge you.
I'm not fighting you.
Wake up, Lucioi.
I told you.
What are you doing here? I said, what are you doing here?
I'm here for the money.
Then you have to play by the rules. And the rules say you have to accept every challenge. You got a problem with that? Scuttle your butt out of town.
Mm-hmm. I got no problem.
The lady fights Mr. Kelly, and they fight at 7 o'clock tonight.
An old doctor, the one Ellen saw briefly at the carnival, watches thoughtfully as Herod and his men leave. Ace fans a pack of cards out and offers them to a little girl.
Take a card, honey.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He gives the pack to her mother, then heads back to his horse, smiling at some girls up on the balcony.
So hot.
it up.
Ace gets on his horse sideways, then spins off it backwards and shoots a bullet between the horse's legs, right through the card.
Ace of spades.
It's a neat trick. I heard you blew a little girl's thumb off in Reno doing that.
I am the best you'll ever see.
So I keep hearing. Shall we find out?
TriStar Pictures presents, in association with Japan Satellite Broadcasting, Inc., to match the time that the clock tower shows. Goodson, the Swedish fighter, opens his gun box and oils the weapon while the kid confidently practices his trigger action in the street. Goodson carefully loads a bullet into each chamber while the kid fills and spins the barrel. Later, everyone's gathered in the street as Horace, the barman, steps forward. The kid turns round and smiles at the women, watched curiously by Ellen. He walks down the street, waving at the crowd, and takes up his position standing opposite Goodson, about 50 yards between them.
I'm gonna be pissing on your grave tonight! You're through!
Herod comes out of his house and greets the crowd beside a large throne-like chair on the porch.
Fire! Fire!
What's the odds on the kid?
3-1, senor.
Gentlemen, please remember, you must not draw until that clock makes the first chime of the hour. Once that happens, you may fire at your convenience.
Whoa, now, what if somebody gets too excited and starts shooting early?
Yeah.
They'd be cheats. And they'd be eliminated from the contest.
Two men on the roof load their rifles.
Whoever is standing after the draw is the winner. If both men are still standing, you must continue firing. Well, I make myself clear. Gentlemen, the street is yours.
The crowd step back.
I only wound you, kid.
You're a kind man.
The kid cracks his knuckles. A man watching out of his window closes the shutters. Both fighters take up their stance and wait. Every eye is focused on them. The kid shoots Goodson in the arm.
Damn, you are fast. Did you even see me? I was so damn fast.
Goodson aims, so the kid shoots him again.
Hey there, Mr. Swedish champion. Are you done? Stay down now unless you're still fighting.
Yes, I give up.
He throws his gun away.
Kid's a winner.
Not fast. This Sweden just a very small place. Tell me now.
Herod gets out of his chair and goes slowly down the steps to sit next to Court, who's chained up at the bottom of them.
Oh, yeah. Come on, kid. I'm gonna give you something to drink.
How does it feel, Court? Does it remind you of the good old days? Is your heart beating faster? Is your pulse racing?
Way to go, kid!
Good shooting, kid!
Good shooting. If Sweet had been any slower, he'd had birds nesting in his hat.
Come on, kid!
They carry him off.
Spotted horse cannot be killed by a bullet. See, I've taken 4 bullets in my arm. 3 in my left leg, 1 in my right, and 2 bullets in the back.
Another bullet went through my lip. Another bullet went through my left foot. And another bullet went into my head today, here. And it not even come out yet.
Ellen sits watching people in the bar.
No, three. How many hands right there? Yes, I gave it.
When she looks around, she sees Herod and reaches for her gun, cocking it in its holster. His armed men happen to move beside him, and Ellen relaxes again, but Herod stares hard back at her until she looks away. Another gun contest. Ellen flinches at the shots. The town clock shows one. Spotted Horse shoots his opponent. Montoya's name is crossed out, money changes hands, and Herod drinks in his chair. The clock shows two. Eugene shoots bullets into his opponent. Herod laughs. The doctor shakes his head. Simp's name is crossed out. The clock shows three and another duel takes place. Cantrell smokes his pipe after killing Sparks. At 4 o'clock, Scars kills Red. Court and Ellen both watch intently as a corpse is carried away on a stretcher. At 5, Court is due to fight Foy.
It's time. I'm not gonna fight.
One of Herod's men knocks Court to the ground.
You wanna fight, huh? We'll see about that. Get up! Come on, don't keep Mr. Herod waiting! Come on, preacher, move it! Turn the other cheek, preacher.
Kick his ass.
He's gonna forgive us. He's gonna forgive us all.
They throw him into a shop.
And that concludes the lessons for the day.
Court kicks the door in his face.
I'm shocked. Reverend here needs a gun.
Well, there's plenty of other places in town to buy a gun.
Nowhere is cheap.
I would know a place that's cheap enough for you.
You know, your mouth gets faster every day. Pity your hands are so slow.
I ain't got slow hands.
Well, sure you do. Yeah, put your hand on the counter here. Go on, put your gun hand up on the counter. Look at this, Court. Here's a gunfighter's hand, and here's a farmer's hand.
I ain't got no farmer's hands.
You know, Court and me are killers. We're the genuine article. But you're from different stock. My friend here needs a gun.
Despondent and defeated, the kid pulls a white-handled gun out of a drawer.
So here's the Eagle Butt Peacemaker. Solid ivory handle, Mexican emblem. Only 30 of these ever made. This is the, customized Remington new model, Army 44. It's probably more accurate than your Colt. Had the wooden handles removed and replaced with solid silver. Used with great success on 35 bank robberies by its late owner. And this? Well, this is the best help a man can get. The Smith & Wesson Schofield 45. Just meat and potatoes. Me and Jesse James think it's the best handgun in the world. Had the trigger guard removed. It saves drawing time. But don't ever wear it when you're drunk or you'll kill your feet.
When's the last time you held a gun, Court?
You know when.
Here. I got offered $120 for this Colt. Want to try it out?
Court spins it in his hand.
You got $120, Court?
I don't have any money. The Lord provides me with everything I need.
He gives the gun back.
We're just wasting this boy's time then, aren't we? I'll tell you what, I'll be a good Samaritan. What's the cheapest gun you got? Not in the case. I mean the cheapest piece of worthless crap you got in the whole miserable store.
All right.
He puts down an old, bland gun.
$5.
Sold!
Herod puts a holster around Court's waist while the kid starts loading the gun.
What are you doing there? Nah, the preacher here's got the Lord on his side. He only needs one bullet. Just one. Otherwise, he might be tempted to shoot his way out of town.
That gun shoots straight. I wouldn't sell it if it didn't.
It's okay, kid. I won't draw.
Sure you will. I know you, Court. When it comes down to it, you'll pull the trigger.
The crowd line the street to watch Court as he walks slowly down the road with Herod and his henchmen behind him. They throw things and spit at him. One boy picks up some horse manure, which he shares amongst his friends to throw. Court walks on, ignoring the objects that hit him, but looking round at the people as he passes them. Herod and his henchmen move aside, leaving him standing in the middle of the street, hands folded in front of him. Foy drinks from a bottle, then throws it down on the ground.
$20 on you, boy!
That's money in the bank, Jimmy!
Preacher boy! You're a dead man!
Court feels for the gun in its holster. He looks over at Ellen, whose eyes are fixed on him. Court moves his hand away from the gun again. A man in the crowd pulls the cork from a bottle with his teeth and spits it out. The town clock shows 1:55. Court looks up as the man pours drink from the bottle into a glass. Foy's eyes narrow and he smiles, revealing rotten teeth. Court prays. Someone in the crowd pushes through to the front, knocking a glass out of another man's hand, which falls to the ground and smashes as the clock strikes. Court looks down and sees that he's holding a smoking gun. Foy drops to his knees.
Felt natural, didn't it? Nice and smooth.
Thought you weren't gonna fight, huh?
Court's chained up again, and Ellen goes and sits next to him.
You're pretty fast. Hope I don't have to fight you.
You have a choice to be here, I don't.
He made you do it.
I was the only one who pulled the trigger.
Well, this ain't much of a town for a preacher.
I wasn't always a preacher.
Court was an outlaw, like us. Weren't you?
In fact, he used to ride with me. Of course, that's all changed now. He's a man of peace. Wouldn't hurt a fly.
Easy. There was a time when you couldn't tell us apart.
Herod walks away, and after watching him go, Ellen turns to Court.
Is that true? Is that true?
Yes.
She'll let you die.
She goes into the bar, leaving Court on the steps.
Go on, it's yours. Go ahead. Take it. Well, you smell good.
Ellen goes onto the balcony and sees them.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. What are you looking at?
Dirty old man. A little girl.
Well, this here is a business discussion. I'm offering her a job.
He puts the necklace in Katie's hand.
Just make sure you wash up wherever he touches you. Okay?
Katie goes inside, and Eugene walks over to Ellen.
One of these days, I'm gonna have to shoot you up real good.
He becomes uncomfortable under her hard stare. Herod approaches Ace.
Mr. Hanlon, I wanted to ask you about Indian Wells. Did that fight really take place?
Sure did.
And it's true that you gunned down four men.
Two with my left hand, two with my right hand. You see, the truth is that I am just as good with either.
You must be the fastest gun in the West. That or the biggest liar.
It's a pity you weren't there to find out.
Oh, but I was, Ace. You see, I was the one that really killed the Terrence brothers. And I doubt if a lying little chicken shit like you was even in the same state.
Ace is shocked and pulls his gun, but Herod's quicker and shoots his thumb off, making him drop the weapon.
Ah! Gun! How about that left hand, Ace?
Herod puts a cigar in his mouth.
How about that left hand to draw?
He lights a match off his gun handle and lifts the flame. Ace goes for his gun, but Herod's quicker again, and this time blows a hole right through the middle of his left hand, then finishes lighting his cigar.
Mr. Ace Hanlon, scored to the sagebrush.
Herod makes him dance.
The Terror of Tucson. Bladder full of hot air.
He shoots Ace in the chest. The crowd watch motionless as Herod looks round at them, the cigar still in his mouth. He holds his hands up questioningly. He raises his arms as they applaud, some of them looking very unimpressed. Then Herod walks away and fires his guns up into the air. He heads back to the house with his henchmen, and Ellen watches as people start stripping Ace of his clothes and belongings. Someone takes his boots while Scars fights over his gun belt. Eventually he gets it off, and by the time Ellen walks away, Ace is lying on the ground in his white, blood-stained long johns. Ellen goes back to her room and leans against the door, flashing back to the doctor grabbing her and keeping her safe while horses storm through the town. Ellen's sleeping in bed. Ellen, the girl, watches as men force her father out of their house.
String him up! Put him on a chair!
Herod laughs as the noose is set up. Ellen wakes with a start, but it's Katie.
They're calling for you on the street. Are you really gonna do it? What if you get killed?
Well, I won't be around to answer any more of your dumb questions.
Hey, miss.
What?
You can do it.
Ellen strokes Katie's head. Ellen walks out dressed in her black hat and jacket with a white shirt underneath. She passes Court in the crowd.
Here's a clip before the strike. Listen to the clock.
Ellen looks up at the clock and nervously steps down into the street. Someone takes a picture as she walks in front of the crowd, watched by the doctor. Herod pops some champagne. She takes her place in the middle of the road.
Last fight of the day! You may fire at the first chime of the clock.
You're gonna die now, girl.
Kelly holsters his gun.
You're dead meat. Look at you. You scared?
You're trembling like a leaf.
Ellen looks slowly round at Court, who's still in chains. He nods once and glances up at the clock tower.
There's a click before the strike. Listen to the clock.
Ellen looks up. It's 1 minute to seven. She focuses her eyes on Kelly, who stares back at her, then looks from side to side before steadying his hand by his gun. He stands with one hand on his hip, the other poised to draw. Katie watches nervously, as do the kid and his girlfriend. Ellen stares hard at Kelly, concentrating. While the doctor goes to see Kelly, who's writhing on the ground, the crowd gather round Ellen. She kisses the kid, leaving him slightly stunned, then turns to look at Herod, who raises his glass to her, and her smile fades.
Grow up. Thanks.
As Ellen goes inside, Court looks over at Herod with a slight smile on his lips. Ellen gets to her room and finds a sealed note waiting for her. She opens it and it reads simply, "Dinner tonight, John Herod." She drops the note down and lays out a dark dress, then adds a small, concealable gun to the pile. The sun sets behind the hills, leaving a fierce, blood-red and cloudy sky. Ellen makes her way across the square towards Herod's house. She passes Court, who's been chained to the fountain again, and is trying to reach a glass of water that's been placed just beyond him. Ellen stops and watches.
Thirsty?
Didn't need to go to all that trouble just for me.
I didn't.
Last night, the kid. Tonight, Herod. You're a busy woman. Any man in this town you're not interested in?
Yeah, you.
She walks off without moving the glass for Court, but he tries again anyway. And knocks it over. Three armed men surround Ellen as she reaches Herod's house.
You're looking at me and you're thinking, we have nothing in common. But we do. We're both winners. How do you feel after surviving your first day?
Same as yesterday.
No. Your eyes are shining. You passed a test. You feel alive.
I guess it doesn't excite me as much as it does you.
He hands her a glass of champagne.
You think I do this contest because it's fun? Look at this town. It's full of people that will kill you for your bootlaces. At least this way I get to face my enemies. They can't sneak up and shoot me in the back. And of course I always win.
Maybe one day your luck will run out.
I don't win because I'm lucky. Après vous.
They're eating at a round dining table beside a fire. Herod takes a sip of his red wine, frowns, sniffs it, then takes another mouthful and sits back in his chair. He looks up at Ellen.
So why'd you come here tonight?
You invited me.
You could have turned me down.
I wanted to see what kind of man you are.
What kind of man am I?
Kind people hate.
She subtly gets her gun.
I'm not trying to be popular. The people in this town, they need me. I bring a sense of order to their lives. Not law, order.
Like hanging a preacher in the saloon?
It's no preacher. He's a fraud. If a man is a killer, then that's what he is. There's no dishonor. But don't let that same man suddenly tell me that it's not in his blood anymore. It's worse than a fire.
Why does he upset you so much?
Now, I find myself almost uncontrollably attracted to you. I hope you don't mind my saying that.
Ellen drops the gun, but it hangs from a ribbon.
I would think a man like you would have.
I was married to a beautiful woman. She was unfaithful.
Where is she now?
I told you. She was unfaithful.
He cuts the skin off the apple he was peeling.
Why are you really here? You're no gunfighter.
Like I said, for the money.
I could give you more money than you could ever spend.
I wouldn't feel like I'd earned it.
Well, yes, you would.
Now Ellen has the gun and aims it at him under the table while he eats his apple.
Did you ever kill anyone?
Sure.
I don't think you have. You see, it all comes down to one thing. How far are you prepared to go?
He hears the gun click.
My father was a judge. What surprised you? He used to make my mother and me watch people being hanged for our improvement. One day he said there was too much bad in this world. He took a bullet, put it in his gun, spun the chamber, then took it in turns, clicking it at each of us, until he finally blew the back of his head off with the final click.
Herod's features briefly grimace with the pain.
Understand this. There is nothing on this earth that frightens me now. Nothing.
He stops her.
I shouldn't have come here.
Who are you?
Let me go.
He pushes Ellen away and she goes to the door. When she turns to look back at him, he's clicking the lid of a metal matchbox open and shut. It's morning, and Court's lying back with his head in the rain, drinking it. He sits up and sees Ellen.
I apologize for my undignified behavior, but sometimes it's a little hard to get a drink around here.
She's sitting under the porch and smoking, looking thoughtful. Court stands up and looks down at her seriously.
I was only a kid when I hitched up with Harry.
Then he sits down next to her.
He singled me out because I was a little smarter, a little faster than most. First completely fearless man I've ever met, and he wanted me to be just the same as him. We used to go revenue collecting along the border, just the two of us, like some families go on picnics. We're down in Nogales taking the bank. And we walked out to a street full of federal soldiers. We got shot up so bad. This padre hit us in his mission. Tended our wounds, fed us. Talked to us both for hours. When we were strong enough to head home, Herod told me to shoot him. When I said no, he put a gun to the back of my head. Started to count down from 10. So I killed the priest. Doesn't matter what I do now. I'm already damned, I know that. Don't go down that road. You don't have to become like me.
Ellen looks away uncomfortably.
Why did you call me up here?
Well, I wanted to ask you one simple question. Who brought you here to fight me?
Herod and Cantrell sit down.
Mr. Herod, I'm just a gentleman adventurer, moseying into town for the challenge of a gunfight.
I thought Ace Hanlon was the hired gun. I was so sure of it. But he was just a buffoon. You're not. My name's Clay Cantrell, and I'm a shootist. I've killed 17 men. Killing is purely a business proposition for me. Doesn't give me any pleasure. My employer's confidential. Now, do we have business together today? As soon as the rain stops, I'm going to make an example of you.
On Herod's steps.
So then he said, give me the gun. So what can I do? I gave it to him. Like hell I did.
You shot him?
Yep, and that's the story of Flat-Nosed Freddy, who currently resides 6 feet under.
Oh, man!
It's a big thing for you to enter the contest. You made your point. Now I want you to step down. No disgrace.
I'll only step down when you step down.
I'm telling you to step down. Your time will come.
Not with you still around.
Don't ever cross me. And don't try to stare me down like you're doing now. I'm not sick or old. And you're not half the man I am.
Herod pushes the kid away, then goes to face Cantrell in the road, 50 yards between them.
Round two! Four fights today! Featuring the 8 remaining contestants. The winner is a contestant left standing,
left alive.
Left alive! From now on, we fight to the death.
Well, well. What a surprise, John. You changing the rules.
Any problem with that?
Well, I was planning to kill you anyway.
Huh.
Gentlemen, the street is yours.
They both stand ready to draw. The clock moves round to 1 minute two. Everyone waits with bated breath. One woman holds a large silver cross in her hand and keeps her eyes looking down at the floor. The woman with the cross closes her eyes in despair as Cantrell staggers backwards, shot in the stomach, then drops to the ground. Herod looks round at the people.
I'm confused. All I hear from you, you spineless cowards, is how poor you are. How you can't afford my taxes, my protection. And yet somehow, you've all managed to find the money to hire a professional gunfighter to kill me.
Cantrell was reaching for his gun.
Where's all this money coming from? What am I to think? If you got so much to spare, I'm just going to have to take some more off you. Because you clearly haven't got the message. This is my town! If you live to see the dawn, it's because I allow it. I'm in charge of everything. I decide who lives or who dies.
Cantrell tries to take another shot, and Herod shoots him straight through the head, leaving a large round hole in it.
Your gunfighter's dead. Old news.
Herod stares at them triumphantly, then turns and heads back to his house, followed by his two henchmen. Scars and the kid fight next. The kid smiles cockily, while Scars clicks his neck, also grinning. The kid drops to his knees, but Scars falls.
Is it possible? Is it possible to improve on perfection?
Man's dead. Kid's the winner.
I heard him. I heard him move his hand. I tell you, people, I'm on a different level. In fact, I am the new goddamn mayor of this town. Wonderful.
Worst
deer. Time's coming up. No more advice till we see what it's going to do.
Drinks on me, fellas.
They drag Scar's body away.
We're going to have to bury this old man deep. He stinks something off.
Ellen walks into the bar and warms her hands by the stove, then looks around, listening. Other people look upwards, concerned. Katie comes running down the stairs, goes straight across the bar and out of the door. Then Eugene comes down, doing up his flies. He walks over to Horace.
Yeah, that little girl is going to be a real good one.
Eugene's carrying his gun belt over his shoulder, and when Ellen stands in his way, Horace thinks about slipping one of the pistols out, but then changes his mind and goes back to filling bowls with food. Eugene walks on.
Deal me in, boys. I feel lucky.
She good?
It's coming.
Wriggle like a fish.
Ellen pulls him off his chair and kicks him.
Get up!
Eugene gets to his feet and goes for Ellen, but she knees him in the head.
Bitch! I'll kill you!
I'll kill you!
Save it for the contest!
You've got it, huh?
In the street.
You goddamn fucking bitch!
Ellen shoots Eugene and he falls to the ground. He gets to his knees, then looks down at his crotch. Ellen shoots him again.
Please don't kill me, no, no. No, please. No, don't kill me, Dad. Please. John. John.
Finish him off.
No.
This contest is not over until one of you are dead.
Please don't kill me. Please. No, please.
Ellen points the gun at his head with trembling hand. Then she releases the hammer.
This contest is not over yet!
Ellen goes back into the bar and walks straight up to the counter.
Drink.
Thank you.
She holds the glass up. Eugene shoots it from the doors, but Ellen pumps bullets into him until he falls backwards out of them. She walks slowly across the bar and outside, where she looks down at his dead, blood-stained body.
Gold teeth! I want some
whole teeth mouth full of gold teeth!
And the lady moves to round three.
She walks away.
There's always forgiveness if you ask for it.
Ellen carries on past court, ignoring him. He looks over at Eugene, then up at the rain, and steps back under the cover next to the blind boy. The town clock shows 6:10, and one of Herod's men approaches court. He grabs the chains that bind Court's wrists, pulls him to his feet, and leads him out into the street. The man undoes the chains which drop to the floor, then gives Court his cheap gun back.
Thank you, Rat.
Ratsy walks away again. Ellen makes her way through the crowd carrying all her belongings. A group of women at the end watch her go as someone hands Court a single bullet. Ellen's in the stables.
Hey, what are you doing? Not quitting, are you? I know this is probably the wrong time, but I like you. And I want you to stay.
How can you live like this?
Live like what? Aren't you even gonna stay for Court's fight?
No, I'm not.
Wait, it's starting any minute down there.
I don't care about him. I don't care about you. Or anybody else in this town.
She opens the doors and looks out at the country.
I'm through.
Ellen gallops out of the stables on her horse. In the street.
Spotted horse cannot be killed by a bullet.
Court puts his single bullet into the chamber, tests the hammer and the aim, then spins the gun and puts it back in his holster. He takes his coat off and throws it on the ground, then rolls up his sleeves while Spotted Horse watches. Court loosens the top button of his waistcoat and adjusts his gun belt. The two men stand poised and ready to draw. They keep their eyes focused intently on each other. They get ready to draw as the clock moves round. Outside the town, Ellen stops her horse and looks back, then carries on her way again. caught still standing in the street while Spotted Horse is on his back.
Man's dead. Court's winner.
He killed Eddie Good.
Court turns around unhappily, then slowly looks back at Spotted Horse, who's struggling to his feet again.
Spotted Horse cannot be killed. Bullet!
Give me another bullet.
I thought I explained the rules to you very carefully. You have to kill the man.
Spotted Horse aims but misses.
Give me another bullet, John.
Somebody give me a bullet!
The blind boy looks for one.
38 long colt!
I shall not kill, that's what you told me. I've renounced all violence.
Now, goddamn!
He finds the bullet.
Now!
And throws it to Court, who jumps up in the air to catch it as Spotted Horse takes aim again. Court loads it and shoots Spotted Horse in the head before he has a chance to fire. The crowd gather round the body, but Spotted Horse raises his gun in the air again. Then it flops to the ground.
Congratulations. Looks like you're going to the next round, preacher.
Applause.
Herod walks over to Court and peers at him, then pats his shoulder.
Bravo. Welcome back.
Faster.
Herod goes back into his house.
Give me that.
Ratsy takes the gun off Court and pulls him by his chains over to the fountain, where he locks him up again. The rain's pouring down in the cemetery, where Ellen's walking around amongst the graves. She looks up and sees the doctor.
I knew I'd find you here.
You know who I am?
Of course I do. I brought you into this world.
He steps towards her and hugs her.
Your father was...
I don't want to talk about him.
You've been here for hours looking for his grave. He's not here. Harry's men. They smashed the gravestone I made. And then they burned his body till there was nothing left. There are good people here. They're just cowards, like me. And they're waiting, hoping someone like you will come and stop him.
I can't. I can't kill him. I had my chance and I was... I'm scared of dying.
You've been dead since it happened. You're more scared of living. It'll be the same if you keep riding.
He hands her a marshal's badge.
I pulled this from the fire. He was the best friend I ever had.
Flashback. A young Ellen and Doctor watch.
Here's the rope!
Ellen's father has the noose around his neck and is raised up so that his feet barely touch the chair. The doctor covers Ellen's eyes with his hand, but she moves it away. Herod rides backwards and forwards, grinning and shooting the chair legs. Ellen runs out and Herod picks her up.
Put her down, goddammit!
Standing in the cemetery in the rain, Ellen looks down at the marshal badge, then across to the town. She throws open the bar doors and walks through, pushing the men who approach her out of the way, then goes upstairs.
Hello, Bonita.
Ellen walks along the landing, looking into the bedrooms. A naked man stands with his back to her in front of a woman. A girl lounges on a bed. Two women are in bed with one man. She kicks open a door, finds Court being beaten up, and gets him out.
He'll you just miss your hair in prison!
Feel that I've come to some sort of basic primal level of humanity. See, now, the Bible speaks of turning plowshares into swords, you see, and faced with an insurmountable evil. And I feel that it must be God's will that I'm here. So I...
She takes one top off. Then the strip of lace that she wears around her neck. She steps towards Court to kiss him.
Why are you doing this to me?
Because we could both be dead tomorrow.
He puts his chained arms around her and she strokes the hair from his face. Then they slowly start to kiss. The tender movements as their lips touch become faster and more passionate. With his hands trapped behind her back, Court untucks her blouse while she undoes his waistcoat, the kissing becoming more passionate and urgent. She helps him, opening her shirt to reveal her breasts, then smothering him in sexually charged kisses. She sinks to her knees and Court puts his head back. The sun rises above the hills. Ellen walks through town on a bright, clear morning and finds Herod on a bench.
I challenge you.
No way.
I'm not fighting anybody else. I want you.
I've already been challenged.
Woo-hoo! Yeah.
It's time for me to see if I'm my father's equal.
The kid walks past with a crowd behind him.
You would fight your own son. I'm gonna kill you if I have to ride all the way to hell to do it.
Do you have some particular problem with me?
I'll let you know.
The board reads the kid and Herod at 1 o'clock, and the lady and Court at 6. Court's standing by the doors outside the bar. Ellen's on the other side of them.
I'm not fighting you.
I'm not fighting you.
I came here to kill Herod, and that's what I'm gonna do.
Stand down.
I will not stand down.
Stand down. Let me take him in the final. He'll be just as dead.
Herod stands opposite them.
Let me make something clear to both of you. You are going to fight. Nobody walks out in this contest. Nobody stands down.
You don't tell me what to do.
You try to leave town, my men will kill you. You refuse to fight, my men will kill you. You had your chance to quit. Now it's gone.
He slaps her around the face with his gloves, and as soon as she retaliates, he grabs her, and a henchman points a rifle at her head. Herod walks away with a smile, leaving her fuming.
Mr. Herod, fight the kid,
Then the lady fights court. Clear the street.
You don't have to do this. Everybody already knows you're the best.
No, it ain't about that. I'm his son. If this is the only way he's gonna admit that. So be it.
What can you possibly get out of this? What do you want?
The kid stares down at the floor, then looks over at Ellen.
All I want is his respect.
He heads out of the shop, and Ellen rests her head on her hands. The kid stands in the doorway, looking at the people cheering and egging him on. He smiles genuinely and puts on his hat, then steps out into the street. He makes his way down the dusty road, which is lined with spectators, towards his father's house. He winks at his girlfriend. The men raise their glasses. The kid sees Herod standing in the middle of the road and slows to a stop.
Drop out! You've made your point.
The gunfight is in the head, not in the hands. The only thing that makes him invincible is because you all think he is. Maybe 5 years ago he was the fastest. But, time catches up with everyone. He's just a little bit slower than he used to be. And as for myself, would you believe it? I just reached my peak.
Father and son face each other, hands poised over their guns, ready to draw, waiting for the clock to strike. Herod grabs his neck and falls to the ground.
Shit, that was fast.
Then the kid falls too, shot in the stomach. The doctor stands over him and shakes his head. Herod manages to prop himself up on his elbow, watched by Horace, who seems disappointed to see him alive. Ellen rushes over to the kid and his girlfriend.
Did I get him?
Yeah, kid, you got him.
Did I kill him?
You were so fast, kid.
Jesus, I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
He takes his girlfriend's hand.
I know.
A shadow looms over Ellen as Herod walks up to them, holding a cloth to his neck. The kid holds a bloody hand out to him, but Herod doesn't take it. Then his head drops backwards onto his girlfriend's lap, and Ellen closes his eyes.
There's never proof that he was my son. It was a farmer that was mine.
Ellen stares up at him with venom in her eyes.
Gave him a way out. He wouldn't take it.
Herod looks down at the boy and grimaces, then turns and walks away. As Herod heads back to his house and the girlfriend cries over the kid's dead body, the people of the town slowly converge on them. Between them, they pick the kid up and carry him off the street while others watch. His girlfriend picks up his hat and is left standing with it in her hand, looking down at it. Ellen's in the gun shop, looking at a framed photograph of a child holding a pistol in the air with bullet straps across each shoulder. She throws it on the floor and sees the blind boy standing there.
What kind of egg do you have?
Any kind you need.
She pats the barrels of dynamite she's sitting on. Outside, Ellen walks over and sits next to Court. He carries on staring at the ground, and she looks out at the surrounding hills. The clock shows 1:01. Ellen steps off the porch in her spurred boots and stands looking down the street. Court also steps onto the road, his hands unshackled, and looks over at Ellen. She walks down the dry, dusty street, which is once again lined with spectators. Court walks towards her, and they meet in the middle, facing each other, 50 yards apart. Herod watches keenly from his seat on the front porch. Court tucks both hands into the back of his gun belt. The clock turns 6 and no one moves.
Neither one of you fire. By the time I count down from 10, my men will gun you down.
Court and Ellen's eyes are locked on each other.
10. 9.
Draw your gun. No point in both of us dying.
8. 7.
Draw, goddammit!
6.
Kill me, Ellen!
5.
Kill me!
4.
Kill me!
3.
Kill me, or I'm gonna kill you!
2.
Please.
They draw, but Court shoots first and Ellen falls to the ground, clutching her chest and breathing heavily. The doctor runs up to her and moves her hand, revealing the red blood that's seeping out through her clothes. And as her breathing stops, he sits back, shaking his head.
She's dead. Oh, Jesus.
She's dead.
Leave her alone, you vultures. Don't touch her.
Nice shooting, Reverend. Like I always say, you put a fox in the hen house, you'll have chicken for dinner every time.
You're gonna burn for this, Herod, you son of a bitch.
This much wanted all along? Why don't you come and get some?
He beats the henchman up, then Herod pulls a gun on him. Ratsy whacks him round the back of the head.
Of course we'll fight. But the rules say tomorrow. I'll even let you name the time.
Dawn.
Ratsy's got Court chained in a chair in the empty bar while he beats him up.
Break my nose twice.
He whacks his hand.
See how fast you can draw.
Ratsy leaves him. The sun's setting. Herod's sitting at home, looking disheveled and filing a piece of metal. Wearing just his long johns and glasses, he picks up the gun barrel, takes a piece out of it, and looks at it closely. The large table before him is littered with gun pieces, but suddenly Herod drops the bit he's working on and stops, hopelessly. The sky is dawn red. An old fire smoulders. Spectators line the street again as Herod, flanked by two henchmen, walks to meet Court. They stand opposite each other, and Herod looks down at Court's injured hand.
Who did that?
I did that, Mr. Herod.
Ratsy, you ruined the contest. You've got 20 seconds to get out of town.
Wait a minute, that's not fair. I've only ever done what you told me to, Mr. Herod.
Ratsy, you now have 15 seconds.
Goodbye, Ratsy.
Oh, shit.
What do you think, Gordon? There's a lot of people here that want entertainment. I could draw with my left hand. How does that sound? Of course, unlike Mr. Ace Hanlon, I really can fight with both hands. How do you feel? I'm nervous. It takes a lot to scare me. I love the sensation.
Herod grabs his henchman's rifle. And shoots him dead on the edge of town.
I always wanted to fight you, Court. Ever since the first time I saw you. Just this itch that I had to scratch.
Court stares at him, then raises one side of his mouth in the slightest hint of a smile. Herod points a finger at him, then turns and walks away with his men.
Whatever happens, if he's still standing in the end, gun him down.
They go to take up their positions. Herod has more men on the rooftops and balconies who all aim their guns at Court. Both men stop walking and turn towards each other. Court swallows nervously and remains standing slightly side-on to Herod. Two henchmen stand on the clock tower, which shows 1 minute to six. Court holds his injured hand over his gun. Herod does the same, only his is shaking. Just as they're about to fire, the clock tower explodes in a huge ball of flames. Herod struggles to sit up and is about to shoot when his house behind him explodes. After recovering, he takes aim again and the bar blows up. The explosion rips along half the street, sending debris flying everywhere. As the smoke slowly clears, Herod struggles to his knees and looks around at the carnage. He stands and looks down the street, but there's no sign of Court. Through the smoke and the burning ruins comes Ellen. The crowd looks stunned, as does Herod, to see her approaching.
You're dead! You're dead!
The blind boy tips away the last of a bottle of red ink, and the doctor puts an assuring arm around him. As Ellen stops in front of Herod, a henchman takes aim, but Court steals the gun from his belt and knocks him out, then shoots a man on the roof, another running up behind him, then two more on roofs.
Sorry, John. Change the rules. From now on, all the fights are fair.
Who are you?
Ellen rips the marshal badge off her necklace and throws it down at Herod's feet. He looks down at it, then back up at Ellen.
You stole my life.
Let him go!
In the flashback, Herod puts the young Ellen down again.
Please, don't make my little girl watch this. Please, let her go before you kill me.
Oh, I can't do that. Tell you what, I've had my 3 shots. I'll give you 3 shots to save your daddy's life.
You son of a bitch.
Shoot the rope. And if it breaks, your daddy can live. You got my word.
You can do it, darling.
She shakes her head.
You can do it, darling. Come on, just hold the gun in both hands. Pull the hammer back.
I can't.
You can. You can do it.
No, I can't.
Don't you worry about this. None of this is your fault. Don't you blame yourself now. Just remember that your daddy loves you. I'll always love you. Now, just remember that. Now, come on.
Ellen pulls the gun's hammer back. She aims at the rope and shoots her dad in the head.
That's close enough.
The young doctor closes his eyes as Herod and his men ride off. Ellen looks up at her father and starts to cry. Back in the present, she's staring hard at Herod while parts of the town burn around them. Court walks into the background and Herod reaches for his gun.
You're not fast enough for me!
Today I am.
The two of them face each other, and the tension builds as everyone watches them. Herod laughs when he sees Ellen's been hit. Then he looks down at his shadow and sees a clear hole in it, right by his heart. He cocks his gun, but Ellen shoots first. The bullet flies straight through his head, knocking him off his feet and flipping him over so that he lands face down in the dirt. Ellen walks up to the body, holsters her gun, and gives him a nudge with her boot. When he doesn't move, she picks the marshal badge up out of the ground and throws it to Court, who's standing nearby, watching. He catches it and looks up at her.
The law's come back to town.
Court looks from her back to the badge. Ellen climbs up onto her packed horse and puts her hat on. He rides out through the town. Court watches her go, then looks at the badge in his hand again.
One man's battle against assassins bent on killing the most powerful warlord in ancient China, Yimou Zhang's hero, the film next Friday at 9. Modern internet technology is such that we could all be part of the government. That's one of the theories in Us Now, coming up next.